Please join me in prayer this morning. Almighty Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you through Christ our Lord. Amen. How many of you have ever come close to a sheep? What kind of a picture do you have in your mind about sheep? If you've ever been real close to sheep, you probably know that their fleece isn't always as white as snow. It is more gray from all the dirt and burrs they pick up in living out their lives. Sheep are often messy, smelly, and I'm told not particularly smart. So when Jesus calls us sheep, it's not exactly a compliment. But Jesus loves us anyway. And us being called sheep is a good illustration. Sheep are very vulnerable and quite dependent on the care of their shepherd. I still remember reading a book about them years ago. It is said that if a sheep gets separated from the flock, it is in danger. First of all, there are predators out there that like to kill sheep. Sheep are somewhat weak and don't put up much of a fight. Secondly, they can get themselves in a lot of trouble very easily. If a sheep gets rolled over on its back, it usually cannot right itself again if someone does not come along to help it. It could die in that position. Straying from the flock or getting lost is not the only danger sheep face. At the beginning of the chapter, just before the gospel passage Mark read, our Lord talks about danger inside the sheep pen. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep." And then Jesus goes on to explain further when he says, "I am the gate for the sheep." "I tell you the truth. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture." In Jesus' day, shepherds and sheep were very common figures, weren't they? Because it was an agricultural society. Moses and David were well known as shepherds. Language referring to shepherds and sheep is often found in the Old Testament. Furthermore, God himself sees himself as the great shepherd. Ezekiel 34 tells us this, quote, "For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them into their own land. I will feed them with good pasture. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God." Unquote. The record shows that God has done this throughout history. Many of these phrases in this particular reading, he has carried out, bringing out his people from among the nations and having one flock. Now, God the Father is the great shepherd. But he has set in place shepherds under him through whom he seems to work. He seeks to work and care for his people. And we have one good example of that in Ezekiel 34. He says, I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. God has, of course, down through history, used other under-shepherds to look out, care for, and feed his people. Finally, he sent another great shepherd, a descendant of David. But this great shepherd had a mission. He came not just to care for and feed his people, but that his people might have eternal life and never perish. And thus, we have those precious words from Jesus in John 10:27 this morning. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. This shepherd was different from all other shepherds. Normal shepherds had to face predators such as lions and bears and especially wolves. But their goal was to fight them off, not to actually lay down their life. A shepherd losing his life would have been a disaster for the sheep. But in John 10:11, this great shepherd says, he is the good shepherd who has come to lay down his life for the sheep. He died and rose again to unite us with God, but also to unite us with each other. He clearly says that he has other sheep, those that are not of that particular sheep pen. He is probably talking about non-Jewish believers. We are included in that. Think about that. The Lord was talking about us over 2,000 years ago. He says he must bring them also so that there will be one flock and one shepherd. Again, some knowledge of the habits of a shepherd and a sheep help us here. During the day, the sheep would be out grazing in the fields. And at night, the shepherd would guide them, hopefully, into a sheep pen, if one was available. And this was a court surrounded by walls, but open to the sky. And there was only one entrance. The walls, of course, kept the sheep from wandering and protected them from wild animals. Apparently, in many areas, there were large folds where several flocks were kept. And at the gate, there was a watchman who was in charge. And the watchman would recognize the shepherd and let him bring his flock in. And note how personal this was. And as we read these lines, you find that we start with the illustration of the shepherd and sheep, but it gets expanded somewhat to point out who the Lord's really talking about. It goes beyond being a mere illustration. For God himself was called the shepherd of Israel in several places in the Old Testament. Sheep recognize the voice of their own shepherd and respond only to him. A shepherd does not call sheep randomly, but only those who belong to him. And the shepherd led his sheep. He did not drive them. There is a difference. They followed him because they knew his voice. Which brings us to a question. Do you know this shepherd? Are you following him? I'm long past the point where I believe that everyone who is sitting in a church this morning knows the shepherd. I've even had some people who go to church every Sunday tell me that. Are you navigating this world guided by the shepherd? Or your own ideas or philosophies? Do you know the one who created us and came to earth taking on human flesh? Are you looking forward to meeting this Jesus and seeing what God has planned for your future? And if by chance, I have no one in mind, but if by chance you are sitting here and say, I'm not really sure I know the Lord, let me encourage you to see one of the pastors or a strong Christian who professes the name of Jesus. And it's entirely possible that God might use that person to show you how that can be changed. We talk about the word life so much. But what is true life? True life is connected to God and involves a relationship with Him. Do you have that kind of a life? Jesus has nothing but comfort, peace, and good news for those who know Him and follow Him. He cares for us. He knows each of us by name. He is the way, the truth, and the life for everyone who trusts in Him. And He brings us comfort with His words in John 29 this morning. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. The Apostle Paul reinforces this with his words in the book of Romans. He says, For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Lord Himself is our shepherd. If we were to sum up the message this day, the summary is truly amazing. The Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who created life and took on flesh to redeem his people, is our shepherd. Hear his words from thousands of years ago and passed down for our comfort when he said through his great prophet Isaiah, Fear not, for I am with you. Amen.